around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. I would like to take the opportunity, as always, to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's always a joy to come into your home, your place of business. Maybe you downloaded this as a podcast, or maybe you're watching it on a YouTube video. Nevertheless, we welcome you today. We trust and pray that all is well with your soul, and that God's grace and God's mercy is ever abounding in your life. Psalms 147 verse 11 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and in those that hope in his mercy." Do you have hope and the mercy of God? I trust that you do. Stephen and I were just in here talking today before the program about Donald Trump, the secret treasures, the hidden riches, the video that we did, and also the video that we did on time disposal. If comes to fruition what looks like will come to fruition, an investigation of the investigators on the collusion of Donald Trump, those two YouTube videos should go viral. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, need to watch that video. If there is any indictments in the DOJ or the FBI or the CIA or NSA, Clapper, Brenner, all of those people, because if that takes place, and we're not patting ourselves on the back, but it was during the 21-day fast 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, I'd have to go back and look, when we talked about the Trump train that hit the garbage truck, it neither derailed the train nor hurt anyone, but it knocked over the garbage truck, scattered the garbage everywhere, and then the name of the company of the garbage truck was Time Disposal. And we did a video on that in regards to the garbage, the trash, the off-scouring of the world that they thought they had concealed, and nobody would ever find it, and it would go to the landfill and be buried and done over and over with. But we'll see here very shortly how timely those two videos were. You know, when God gives or reveals a prophetic event, it may take a year, it may take two years, it may take 4,000 years. It took 4,000 years from Genesis 3:15 to the crucifixion of Christ. But here's what we need to understand. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good?" It's up to you and I as believers to grasp the deep things of God. So if there are any indictments, investigations, every Christian, not because we did the video, but because of the insight and revelation that God suffered us to see, should take that and show every Christian the reality and the power of God and the revelation he's able to extend to the people of God. If they have eyes to see and they have ears to hear, amen. Before we get back into our program, the church versus denominationalism, I want to play a very beautiful song. This is a beautiful, beautiful song. It's entitled "Honored, Exalted, and Glorified" by the Taylors. It's very, very touching, very moving. I pray that it blesses your heart and life today. Amen.
Oh,
True, Christ honored, exalted, and glorified. Well, today, as I said, is Tuesday, May the 7th, 2019. We're still receiving so many thanks and appreciation for the conference that we just held a month ago this weekend. And, we're humbled by that. People were so touched and moved and said the altar calls were the most important thing to them. And again, I covet your prayers. I want you to pray for us, the voice of evangelism. I feel constrained in my spirit to keep doing this for the people of God. I know church is pathetic. For most people, it is for me. I go to church and the preacher does not feed me, neither does he allow the Holy Spirit of God to have preeminence. And this is what denominationalism does. It divides us. It divides us, and it divides us terribly, because instead of your allegiance being to Christ, your allegiance is to a denomination. And I knew when I began this, it would be, number one, controversial. Number two, it would be divisive. Number three, I would lose friends. But if I lost them, they never were my friends. Galatians 4:16, Paul said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" There is no such thing as denominationalism in the scriptures. It does not exist. It never will exist, because there's only one body. There's only one body, and Christ is the head of that body. I'll say it again. The church is not the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, verse 2, verse 21, chapter 21 and verse 9, says clearly, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, New Jerusalem. But though you give people Bible verses, they throw them in the trash can because it's in opposition to their denomination. So what I've come to understand, your allegiance in the end is not to Jehovah. Your allegiance is to your denomination. That's where you're missing the mark. You're missing the mark terribly. Because I am going to be devoted to God, Jehovah, Elohim, Jesus, the Lord Christ first. And then I get that allegiance and that dedication from the Word of God. The Word of God. I was sharing with Stephen a few minutes ago I got two emails yesterday. And, of course, I constantly pray for wisdom. One of the emails was a gentleman who said, my neighbor has been shacking up with his girlfriend for over 30 years. He says they're married. I think you call that a common law marriage. He said, but I need a Bible verse to show him his that he's not right. He's an error. And that quick, the Holy Spirit quickened me. It reminded me of Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That one verse summed it up. Not David Lankford said, not David Lankford thinks, not David Lankford's theology, but what did the Bible say? Then another dear sister said she was being constrained by her family to anoint someone else in the family with oil. And she was apprehensive to do that. And she said, can you help me? Just that quickly, the Spirit of God checked my heart, told me to give her John chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. That's all I wrote on the email. And it says that Mary took a pound of spikenard ointment, alabaster box, she broke it, she anointed the feet of Jesus. A woman anointed Jesus. You see, I didn't tell her what some denomination said. I didn't give her some theological rhetoric or jargon. I gave her Bible. See, that's what makes this ministry apart from most ministries, is we don't give you denominationalism. We give you scriptures. That's the final authority. Jesus is going to judge all of us by the Word of God. So if you misappropriate it, take it out of context, manipulate it, make it say things it doesn't say, you are in error. I don't care who you are. Jesus told the Pharisees, they were a type of denomination, if you want to use that. The Sadducees were a type of denomination. They had different beliefs. But there's only one church, one body. See, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. Well, I'll tell you right now, the Sadducees are and were and are still wrong. There is a resurrection. Paul was a Pharisee. He was on the right side of religion in that context. But God said, you're getting out of that, pal. You're going to be an apostle for me. So, denominationalism divides us, and it's already divided what I thought were some friends, but that's all right, because my allegiance is to Jehovah, theirs is to a denomination. And when he said, come out of her, my people, you think your denomination is not a part of that harlot system, but you're wrong. That's why the church is a harlot in Revelation 17. That's the substitutionary church. It's the exact opposite of the manhood of Christ. He's the head. We are the body. I shared the vision from Tommy Hicks. And how he saw the body going up and being joined to the head of Christ. And I give people Bible. I give them scriptures. Obviously, they throw them in the trash can. Obviously, they disregard it because I give them the truth and they still persist in going another direction. But that shows me their allegiance is not to the Word. Their allegiance is not to God. Their allegiance is to a denomination. For instance, the church. Paul in Ephesians 1:22-23. And hath put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. If the church is his body, and he's the head of the body, then it has to be masculine. Same thing in Colossians 1:18, head of the church. But again, when your commitment is to a denomination and not to the Word of God, you immediately are in error. That's why I'll never be a part of another denomination. And I'll also hear the rhetorical jargon, well, there are non-denominations that are in heresy too. You're right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. But I'm not. I'm pledging my allegiance to the Scriptures. And when you start preaching and pushing denominationalism, that's when you suddenly get off track, whether you realize it or not. You see, during Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, Paul was told he would bear much suffering for Christ's sake. And he would also go to the Gentiles and to the kings of the earth, and up to a point he went to the Jews. But then that stopped. How do we know? Acts 9 and 15 says, "But the Lord said unto him," talking about Paul, "Go thy way." He's talking to Ananias concerning Paul. "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel." Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus, when he revealed himself to Paul and that august light, so blinding that it blinded Paul, he told him, he said, "You're going to suffer because you're going to preach me. You're not going to preach about a denomination. You're not going to preach about an organization. You're going to preach about me, Paul. I'm the Savior. I'm the Redeemer. I died for sin. You're going to preach me." How do we know? Acts chapter 17, verse 18 says, "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him." They engaged Paul. "And some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.'" Everyone that knows me knows my heart is for the lost souls. I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to accomplish something of myself. I've said it to my wife, Stephen. If the ministry grows, so be it. But I'm not trying to grow the ministry. It's just growing because people are finding out the truth through the ministry. Everyone relates to this ministry for one reason: the Bible. That's what they are relating to, is the Word of God. Because there's a famine. Amos 8:11, "Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." Men are preaching heresy, fallacy, false doctrine, denominationalism, money. They're preaching everything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They preach everything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let me share this passage in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. This is what's happened in the church world. This is what's happened in denominationalism. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 13, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name." Watch this. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. He baptized two men, Crispus and Gaius, and the household of Stephanas. So let's say Stephanas was married and had three children. Paul never baptized more than seven people. Seven. He wrote 13 epistles. He's so prominent, it begs description. But he probably baptized less than seven people. We're talking water baptism. And he tells you why. After I baptized also the household of Stephanas, besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. According to his remembrance, I can't remember if I ever baptized anyone else. Gaius, Crispus, and the household of Stephanas. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. If you preach anything other than Calvary, Paul said, you make the cross of Christ of none effect. Then he says in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So where does salvation come from? I just quoted it. The cross. The efficacious, vicarious work that Christ did on the cross. That's all that saves you. That's all that saves you. You see, when I water baptize people, I first say, when they're in the water, upon the profession of your faith. What does that mean? You're telling me you are already a Christian. Upon the profession, you're professing, you're confessing Jesus. Upon the profession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. I only baptize because you're professing you're a Christian. I don't baptize sinners. I only baptize Christians. So when I say upon the profession of your faith, because you tell me you're already washed in the blood, that qualifies you for baptism. You can baptize people all day long. If they're not saved, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? So we have to be careful that we don't take away from the cross of Christ. That's why Paul said he didn't baptize. Lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. If you're preaching anything else, then you're taking away from his death, burial, and resurrection. I'd be afraid to ever do such a thing. After Christ ascended, he then left the church, his body, in the hands of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. I tell people you always have two witnesses, the Holy Spirit and the Word. John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The all truth is the Scriptures. So God left the church in the hands of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And you hear me preach this. You hear me preach this. Now, I'm going to look at the camera very pointedly. If you fail to reconcile the Scriptures, you are in error. You see, I have so many people who will give me a Bible verse, and that's great. But then I give them a Bible verse that tears down their little flimsy theology, but they won't hear me. No, because I said it. But if their denomination said it, oh, that gives it preeminence. Your denomination does not give the Word of God preeminence. God doesn't need your denomination. He doesn't need your organization. But you need His Word and you need the Holy Ghost. Hello? Now, I know this is going to upset the apple cart. I'll get hate mail and I'll get emails. And that's because I am becoming your enemy instead of your friend, because I'm telling you the truth. It's like Elijah said to Israel, how long shall you be halt between two opinions? Elijah says, Elohim, Jehovah. That's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The pagans, the heathen, the backslidden Israelites said, no, Baal is. So we have a showdown at Mount Carmel, 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. He said, how long will you be halt between two opinions? You see, you're listening to the wrong people. 1 Corinthians 14:10, there are, and it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. See, everything you hear has an influence on your belief, your doctrine. So, to make sure I keep doctrine as pure as I can, and I've said it, you've heard me say this, I am mesmerized that God uses flawed men to preach and to teach a perfect gospel. I'm overwhelmed by that thought. If you don't think I'm not perfect, ask my wife. See? Ask my wife. She'll tell you, he's far from perfect. And I know that. But the Word of God that I preach is perfect. And when you can't reconcile some verses of Scripture, it's not God's fault. It's because your allegiance is in the wrong place. I demand of myself integrity. I demand of myself the greatest amount of integrity that I can humanly live. I demand that of myself. No part truths, no little lies, no such thing as a white lie and a black lie. No lies, no deception, no duplicity, no twisting of scriptures. Just telling it to you like it is. Matthew 22:29, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. That's why you're in error. You don't know the Word of God. Now, you think you know the Word of God, but then when somebody like me gives you a verse that's contrary to what you're saying, that makes you upset. You see, you're afraid to really walk by faith. You need a crutch. You need something to lean upon. Anybody that listens to this ministry, never lean on the voice of evangelism. That's why you'll never hear David Lankford Ministries. I don't want the identification. Paul said, lest you say you got saved under me, as far as my name. I baptize none, lest any should say, I'm baptized by Paul. So that made another denomination, because he talks about Apollos, Cephas, and himself, Paul. Thus he said, is Christ divided? No. Men divide. Christ does not divide. So, I'll never use my name as a title, you know, David Lankford Ministries. It'll always be the voice of evangelism. John said he was a voice of one crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist. He didn't say John the Baptist Ministries. He said, I'm a forerunner. I'm not that light. I came to bear witness of the light. I want to bear witness of the light, not of a denomination, not of an organization. I want to bear witness of the light of Jesus Christ, just like John the Baptist. See, that's the difference. See, we have too many people preaching denominationalism. And I know I'm upsetting people out of love. Out of love for you, You would be better to turn me off and quit listening to me, because you're going to get hurt. You're going to get offended. You're going to get bitter. You're going to get angry. So don't listen to me, because I don't have an agenda. I want to win souls. My emphasis is on soul winning. Watch television. See how many times ministers preach redemption, salvation, and repentance, and want to talk about winning souls. It doesn't exist today. I'll tell you what they do talk about. Send us your money. Send us your tithes. Send us your offering. Give us your email. Give us your mailing address. I gave to a particular ministry a couple years ago to help build a home for unwed mothers. Actually, several. Jim Baker has a home for unwed mothers. I actually helped build that house. Another ministry, I gave money to help build a home for unwed mothers. And buddy, every week I get a letter. You know what I do with that letter? I throw it in the trash. I felt led to give one time. It was a sizable gift. But after that, every letter I get, more money. More money. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We do not ask for money. We never will. If we do, turn the knob. But regretfully, you listen and you support those who are constantly asking for money. We don't do that at the Voice of Evangelism, because we believe God supplies our needs according to His riches and glory through His Son, Christ Jesus. So we don't do that. The emphasis is on winning souls. And that's why we preach and we teach what we do. Jesus left the church, His body, in the hands of His Word and the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, that's not the Ten Commandments. It has nothing to do with the Mosaic Law. It's the New Testament covenant. So He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So, here's the Word. Here's the Holy Spirit. That's who God left in charge and in care of His church, His body. He didn't leave it to a denomination. He didn't leave it to an organization. He left it in the hands of the church, His body, in the hands of the Word of God, and in the Holy Spirit. Somehow, we come to believe that denominationalism is what God left the church in their hands. I got news for you. That is absurd to even think that to be a reality. John 15:26. "But when the Comforter is come, when I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." You see, the anointing of the Holy Spirit demands I preach Jesus and Him crucified. See, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that is on my life demands I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. "For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul didn't preach anything else. If there was anything else important enough to have preeminence over the cross and the shed blood of Christ, he would have preached it. He would have put it in the epistles. The epistles are the letters to the churches, which the epistles are the doctrine and the rules and the bylaws that we live by. And if you're preaching denominationalism, you're preaching heresy. Yeah, I said it. Now, there are some denominations that are preaching truth, but I'm telling you, most of them are espousing something other than the purity of the gospel and what Christ did on the cross. That's why we feel led and constrained by the Holy Spirit to start having more revival meetings. I'm really praying. I'm making contact. We feel led because the church, the nominal church, is failing the people of God. When we did the survey at the Age of Deception conference, the most valued thing that people liked, appreciated, and embraced more than anything else was mere altar calls. I was overwhelmed. You see, having been a pastor for 27 years, I made altar calls every week. I've preached my own life under conviction and told the church, I got to get in the altar. I'm coming first. I've preached myself under conviction. Yeah, the same word that cuts you, it cuts me. The same Holy Ghost that convicts you convicts me. I'm not exempt. Somehow we think preachers are exempt. Not true. I am subject to the same conviction, the same standard, whether it's holiness, righteousness, godliness. I'm subject to the same standard as any man, woman, boy, or girl. So I advocate and I try to preach a balanced dietary program of God's Word. I try. We're told in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10, that the Holy Spirit of God will lead us into deeper truth. Now, here's my cell phone. See it? That's my cell phone. This is where some people are. They're held hostage to this dimension. They don't get out of the box, up, sideways, or down. They stay right here. Right here's where they stay. They don't grow. They stay in the confines of their denomination. Some of you have moved up to something like this. See? See how much bigger? See how much bigger? This is the denomination. This is God and His Word. Where are you going to stay? Where are you going to stay? Why do I say that? 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You don't go any deeper, you don't go any further, because you're paralyzed. You're hostage, you're in bondage to a denomination. Here's where I'm going. By the way, that's the Companion Bible, E.W. Bullinger. Great, great Bible. We sold every one of them at the conference. I had to order again. Now, this Bible, let me say this admittedly, this is not for a novice. I would never, ever advocate you studying this Bible as a young Christian. I'll go as far as to say, if you're going to stay with the denomination, this Bible's too much for you too. He gets into the Masoretic texts, the Latin Vulgate, the Greek Septuagint, the disposition and the Greek pronouns, nouns, adjectives. It's very, very deep. That's all I can tell you. Now, I graduated to that Bible probably 10 years ago. Now, I still preach and take with me my keyword study Bible, Spiros Zodiates, but I graduated from that because I had learned all I could learn from it. I had reached my boundary. Now, I preach out of it. Matter of fact, this is just one I have here in the office. The one I have at home was wore out. I sent it to a place in Oklahoma and had them to rebind it and put calves leather on it and put my name on it, etc. I enjoy preaching from that Bible, but I don't study that Bible anymore because I've outgrown it. See? You're not growing. You're stuck right here. This Bible is really an encyclopedia. Brilliant. As a matter of fact, I'll take another step that the Dakes annotated. The word annotated means notes. Dakes annotated Bible plagiarized to no end. E.W. Bullinger. You say, how do you know? Because when I first came back to the Lord in 1978, I was given a Bible by J. Finnis Dake. And there are people we call Dakeites. But he's a pre-tribber and preached it, espoused it. And it's got some good stuff. But when I got Bullinger's Bible, I would be in my office studying. I'd say to my wife, honey, come here. I said, he wrote down the exact same words of Bullinger, who was born in like 1850. Dake was born in 1920. The point is, he copied Bullinger, plagiarized. We call it it's plagiarization. He plagiarized his notes. As the Spirit of God and the Word of God takes you deeper, you'll always come in conflict with an organization, with a denomination. Because they stay superficial. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But they don't go any further because they're too busy preaching their denomination. I try to be balanced in my presentation of the Word of God to you, the listeners, or watching the video. And I'm constantly giving you Bible for everything. This is why we do that, so that you can see, wait a minute, I'm stuck in first gear. You know, I've shifted into fourth gear, and I've got a six speed. I'm not wide open yet. I'm striving, but I've changed gears several times, just as I've changed Bibles. I went from a Dakes to a Zodiates, now to a Bullinger. So I've went through three. Maybe I should say I'm in third gear instead of fourth gear. But you see, as I grow, I have to be mentally and spiritually challenged. The other day when I was talking about the church, how it was to the Jew first, and there in Romans 2, Paul talks about to the Jew first, tribulation That was a revelation when God showed me in the Spirit while I'm right here teaching that the Great Tribulation does start in Jerusalem. It does start at the temple. Jew first, tribulation. The gospel was first to the Jews. And I thought, wow, God, your word is so accurate. Your word is so precise. And people will read that and just goes right over their head. But I always ask God to open my understanding. Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You see, you just can't look at one verse. You got to look at all the verses and then put it together. It's like a huge puzzle. I remember in 1994, after the 40-day fast, God spoke to my heart. He said, don't glue down any Bible prophecy on the paper. He said, because you're going to end up moving it. Because you don't understand where I'm taking you. And so you can't glue it down because you've been taught wrong. You've been taught wrong theology. You've been taught wrong doctrine. And I was taught wrong doctrine. And I taught wrong doctrine. I taught the pre-trib rapture. That's wrong. Church birth at Pentecost. That's wrong. It was to the Jew first. I just had the third one on my mind. So many things. Oh, yeah, I've preached that the Holy of Holies is a place. And in prayer just a few weeks ago, God said, no. The Holy of Holies is not a place. I am the Holy of Holies. I'm a person. I was wrong. I taught people wrong. Not because I was evil. I didn't understand. You hear me say this. I cannot take you, I cannot teach you something that God has not revealed unto me. How I know everybody says, well, you know, you need to come to this side. God just hasn't revealed it to you yet. I will come to your side when I can reconcile it with this. I'm not coming to your side when I can't reconcile the Bible. Can't do it because it's error. You see, that's what divides us now. That's what separates the wheat and the tares. That's what is the dividing, the demarcation line. You say, well, come over here. We're right. Well, you say you're right, but then when I look at the scriptures, I see where you're wrong. But then you won't take any of my reproof. You won't take any of my correction, but you're always wanting to correct me. But then when I give you the scriptures to show you where your teaching is wrong, we don't want to hear what Langford's got to say. Well, you can keep digressing because you're either going forward or you're going backwards. The church does not stand still. Denominations do. Denominations control what the people believe. Let me tell you something. Nobody's going to control what I believe but God, the Holy Ghost, and His Word. Nobody. Now, after I built my first church, I brought in the state overseer that dedicated the church for me. And when I asked for the church, he didn't want to give it to me because he said, we're going to disband the church, sell the property, put the money in the state coffers. I said, no. I went over his head. I wrote the general overseer. I said, hey, Brother Thomas. I said, Brother Thomas, I want this church. I want to pastor this church. I said, write the state overseer and tell him, let me have it. Well, like I said, in 5 short years, we took in over 300 members. And when I built the new building, I brought the state overseer that made the appointment to dedicate the church for me. He tried to take the credit. He said, ma'am, what a great appointment I made. I'm like, yeah, I had to go over your head to get it. But he told me something. I was young. I was let's see, how old was I? 30. I was 31 years old when I took the church. And I was taking, his name was Sam Wilson. I was taking him back to the airport for him to fly home. He said, David, you're not a rebel. You're a maverick. He said, you do your own thinking. You strategize. I can see you're a man on a goal and a mission, and we can't harness you. like we want to. He said, you're always going to be above room temperature. You're always going to be out of the comfort zone. He said, but there's only one problem with that. And as a young man, I would try to glean all the wisdom I could from men in their 50s and 60s. He said, as you go higher, he said, you're going to go higher. You become an easier target to shoot at, to criticize, to find fault. Because he said, I can see God is taking you further. He knew I had no theological training. He knew I was just a high school graduate, still am to this day. That's it. I did some corresponding at Lee University. Never graduated. My point is, a denomination will hold you back. God told me. He said, had I left you in the church of God, your ministry would have withered and died. I had to get you out. I had to get you out. Because they're going to stifle you. They're going to curb your spiritual growth. You can't go on in the depth and the breadth that God wants to take you. You can't get there because the denomination is an encroachment. It's an impediment. It is a hindrance. You say, not mine. Yes, yours. And all of them. Now, I know you don't believe that, but that's all right. But I know what the Holy Spirit said to me. You would have withered. And I just pulled down an article the other day, a Gallup poll. Churches are dying left and right. Listen to this statistic. 1,700 pastors quit the ministry every month. 4,000 new churches begin each year while 7,000 close. Adultery is rampant in the church world. Look at the pedophilia and the Catholics. And for whatever reason, Pentecostals, and I'm one of them, have one of the highest adultery rates of any denomination. Churches are becoming more and more filled with divorce than ever before. And they're always, quote unquote, the innocent party. There's some things that are going on that's just not right. Now, I came from a broken home. I understand the gravity, the power of divorce. I hate it. I despise it. I loathe it. So does God. But there's sometimes circumstances that just, it's inevitable. That's why I've told my children, don't you ever get married while you're a sinner. Don't ever do it. Maybe that's why my oldest son's 30 years old and still not married. He's not committed. He's not where he needs to be. But I've instilled that fear in them. Don't you marry until you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God and you're living right every day. Don't think the devil won't seek to destroy your life through a bad marriage. I hate to say that. That grieves my spirit. That breaks my heart. But I have seen it so many times. Don't think the devil doesn't seek to tear the church up by tearing up homes. Now keep listening. Again, you'll either get mad or you'll get over it, get glad again. It's just that simple. I love you. But I'm not going to compromise the message. I saw some people bought our t-shirt. Preaching the word without compromise at the conference. I said, I love that. Something God put in my heart years ago. Do not compromise the word of God, because now you're whittling away at God's spiritual and personal integrity. God bless you. I'll see you Monday in the Lord. Keep listening. At least listen so you might grow and learn in Christ Jesus. Have a great week and a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. In the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.